Podcast. Yeah, what's up, race fans? Jason Wygant here. Long time no see. Feel like we haven't had a race to talk about in months. It's actually been weeks, practically days. But there's all sorts of weird information out there regarding silly season, or what that would mean is the rider switching teams in the off season, and we're going to give that information to you here as quickly as possible and celebrate the career of Chad Reed, who'll be going into the AMA Hall of Fame tonight, Thursday. Well deserved for Chad, who you think it's been a long time since we had the last race of the year. Chad has now been retired for 5 years. And this is a guy that seemed like he was never going to retire, like racing well into his 40s, it felt like. And even that's 5 years ago. Let's get to the silly season stuff. Also, shout out to our sponsors, which is Yoshimura and Insta360 cameras and RacerX. We've got this magazine here. How well timed? Is it Joe time? I mean, yeah. Get it in the magazine, and everything in here is different than what you read on our website or see on our social media. I know, because I have to do double the amount of work to put stuff in the magazine that you don't see on our website or our YouTube channel, where we have not commented enough on what's happening in the silly season. There's one thing that we need to address here. I don't know where this is coming from. Well, the rumors are coming from Facebook, which is a very reliable place to get your info. I don't know why. I don't know where it started. I don't know how it happened. But there is this chorus, this undercurrent of, ooh, now that Jorge Prado is officially out of his deal with Monster Energy Kawasaki, could that open a slot for Eli Tomac to return? No. No, there's no chance. Eli already signed with Red Bull KTM a while ago. Most fans, I think, have understood this dance through the years, but we'll just explain it here so you do understand how it works. Riders sign with teams. Usually negotiations start as early as January. Sometimes the best riders, the ones that get paid the most, are often signed in the springtime. Rarely does a top-level talent go all the way into the summer without already having signed his deal for next year. And the reason for that is the teams have, I'll use my hands here because I'm Italian and I'm from New Jersey, so we speak with those. They have a budget that's this big. The key thing is to use the big part of the budget for the big number, big salary, big name rider first, get that locked in, and then you figure out how much you have left for other pieces. So that's why the Chase Sextons and Eli Tomacs of the world tend to go first. And that's why it was known very early in the 2025 season that when Eli Tomac said, you know what? I don't want to retire. I do want to come back. Yamaha essentially said, we love you. We'd love to keep you. But we don't have the budget plan for a rider that demands the salary that you want and deserve. Because now we're going to have to pay Hayden Deegan as a 450 guy. And Cooper Webb just won or is going to win the Monster Energy Supercross Championship. So Eli, unless you want to ride at a big discount, which you really shouldn't because you deserve the best, we don't have room. So this was known in spring, pretty much, that Eli was not going to be back at Yamaha. And again, remember, at first he wanted to retire. That left really two options. You had Red Bull KTM that wanted to keep Chase Sexton, but Sexton was already talking to Monster Energy Kawasaki. So if Sexton doesn't stay at KTM, it opens up a perfect slot. Tomac needs a team. KTM needs a rider. And somehow, some way, I don't understand how this is possible, but throughout all the financial trouble that KTM HQ is having in Europe, the race team in America kept saying, don't worry, don't worry. We will keep racing. Not only did they have zero problems paying the bills on the racing side throughout the whole 2025 season, but they were full bore going for negotiations for deals for 2026 the whole time. I don't know how. It wasn't a problem. So the only other option for Eli besides KTM was the idea, the ghost of a Red Bull Troy Lee Designs Ducati team deal. But the problem there, even though Eli had a lot of contacts, you know, back in the day, he was a Troy Lee Designs rider. I think there's a PPG Paints has always been a sponsor of both Tomac personally and the TLD team. There's a lot of personal relationships that could work well. But the problem there is that the Ducati thing was not very far along, and there were some doubts, even into the summer, if the Ducati would even be racing at Anaheim 1. The bike has barely touched a Supercross track as of now. So for Eli, look, the clock has been ticking for a while. You can't join a team that may not even be ready to race at all at Anaheim 1, so he's racing for the ready-to-race brand. See what I did there? He'd already signed with KTM, I think, by late summer when it was finally all inked. So any of the ideas of Jorge Prado could be gone from Cowie and get out of his Monster deal and his Cowie deal and that freed up money and maybe Eli was available to go back, great thought, great concept, great theory. Eli is already signed with Red Bull KTM. Yes, Red Bull KTM. He will be wearing a Red Bull hat and a Red Bull helmet in 2026. And here's another thing that makes this one interesting. I believe at the time, not only was Tomac signing with KTM, but again, it wasn't known that Prado would get out of his Kawasaki deal. So it certainly wasn't known that Prado would become Tomac's teammate, which he will become as he goes to Red Bull KTM in America for 2026. Now, part of the reason maybe these Cowie rumors are out there is, again, I need to define the way this dance works. Yes, the riders have signed, and they've signed months in advance of being able to speak about it or announce it. The old golden rule of contracts in the United States is that they went till October 1st, essentially, or September 30th for the old team, and October 1st begins the new team, and that's when you'd see press releases and announcements and photos because of SMX and Motocross of Nations. And I honestly think, because teams are getting more elaborate with their announcements, they don't just want to send a press release on October 1st. They want to get the guy on the bike. They want to have the graphics and gear and logos look good, have videos for YouTube and social. They want to make it look crisp. Because of all that, now you're seeing announcements move further and further back. I think it will be November before we actually see any of these things actually officially announced, like an actual picture of Tomac on a KTM talking about KTM. If you try to ask Tomac about moving to KTM at any time before that, like in a press conference at a pro motocross race or in an interview on press day or anything, he is never going to say anything about switching from Yamaha to KTM because he could get fined or he could have his final paychecks from Yamaha held. And that's not just Tomac's deal. That's every rider's deal. They cannot say it. So you could try to trick them. You could say that they're being wusses or it's not good for the sport for them to not talk about these things. And actually, that's true. We should be able to openly talk about this stuff, no problem, because it's awesome exciting. Can you imagine how fun it would have been in the middle of a Supercross championship battle between Cooper Webb and Chase Sexton to also know that Sexton was potentially negotiating with KTM and Kawasaki at the same time? That is awesome. That is exciting. And it is in Chase Sexton's contract that he cannot say the word Kawasaki or any other team while he's still getting paid by KTM. So he's not going to. I wish it were different. I hope that could change. But for now, that is a reality. So maybe this is leading fans to think that there is still a chance that Tomac could go to Monster Energy Kawasaki now that Prado's gone. Because it doesn't seem like he's signed with KTM yet because he hasn't said it. But he will. I can tell you exactly when. It will be announced with a KTM team launch in California on November 4th. So November 3rd, up until then, you will not hear anything. That doesn't mean he hasn't signed. It just means KTM isn't ready to reveal Tomac on a KTM to the world yet, nor essentially what would be the return of Prado to the brand. Although spy photos of a rider wearing blank Fox gear on a blank KTM have surfaced, we believe that's Prado. I mean, look, the guys don't want to wait till November to start testing the new motorcycles. It just hasn't been announced. And often what happens is that netherworld of they're out of their old deal and they haven't announced the new deal, but it's still, if they get seen on the bike, it won't be a problem because their old deal's over. We're kind of living in that world right now. So the guys are probably riding the bikes right now. Sexton could be riding a Cowie as we speak. It's just not going to be shown by Kawasaki yet. So Tomac's not going back to Kawasaki. He's not. I don't think that was even on the table when he signed with KTM. As for Prado, this is one that makes the mind boggle. Go back to the Salt Lake City Monster Energy Supercross finale. Prado was done. It was down to RJ Hampshire versus Seth Hamaker for the 250 East title. Tom Vial rode well early in that race, but eventually Hatmaker was able to regroup, get around him while dealing with Vial's teammate, Julien Baumeer. And RJ Hampshire was catching him, and Vial was losing ground. And then Hampshire takes both he and Hatmaker out, and Vial goes by, wins the title, and with that, collects a nice bonus and gets booted to 450 Supercross. KTM wanted to be loyal, so they offered him a one-year 450 deal for a good amount of money. Not an unbelievable amount of money, but healthy six figures from what I've heard. But Tom got a better offer, more money, and more years, more security, to go back to MXGP to race for Honda's MXGP team, HRC Honda over there. And with that, they happen to have a 450 deal just sitting there on the table just around the time that Prado was trying to explore options to get out of his Kawasaki deal. Now, getting out of that deal proved to be a lot tougher than he and his agent had hoped. Kawasaki was really holding on tight, as was Monster. I think in a perfect world, Prado would have raced a KTM, maybe even in the SMX playoffs, or definitely a Motocross of Nations, where he could have got a hold of his old works bike and gas plastic, but whatever, he'll take yellow, orange, red, didn't matter. He just wanted to get on his old bike. But no way Cowie and Monster were letting that happen. There were even thoughts that they were both saying, hey, you got a multi-year deal with us. You're going to have to pay us to get out. And at one point, I do believe Prado went around and talked to different energy drinks and teams to try to see if anyone would subsidize him having to pay to get his way out of those deals. That did not happen. He will be back at Red Bull KTM. Red Bull is not paying him personally. Those Red Bull deals kind of work in two ways. You can be on the Red Bull KTM team, or the Troy Lee Designs Red Bull Gas back in the day, Ducati team now. That doesn't mean that you are personally guaranteed to get your own check from Red Bull. That is something Red Bull has discretion over. They do sign certain riders who are quite marketable and are worth a lot of money to their own personal side deals. I believe that's what Prado was hoping to get, so he could then use that check to pay his way out of the Monster deal. Red Bull said no. And Red Bull continues to say no. Red Bull did not buy him out of anything. For whatever reason, Monster and Kawasaki finally relented and let Prado out of his deal. He's free to be on Red Bull KTM now, and you'll see it again on November the 4th. Prado and Tomac as a team. Think about this. If Chase Sexton decides to stay at KTM, I don't know where Tomac goes. Ducati? And if Tom Vial doesn't somehow in improbable fashion win the 250 East title to get booted to the 450 class, he stays for another year on a 250, and there isn't a KTM deal available for Prado to take. What would have happened? There's even rumors of Monster Energy KTM Team Tedder could have ended up being a spot for Prado, because he could have kept some Monster money and gotten a KTM where he wanted to be. Tedder has good stuff, but it's certainly not the full factory KTM program. So really, if you're bench racing for 2026, this is the best case scenario. You've got Prado and Tomac on good, well-established teams. I mean, look, KTM, much maligned by both Vial and Sexton for the bike. Sexton also came within 2 points of winning the Supercross title this year. So it's not like Tomac's completely out to left field with any chance of being good on this motorcycle. And Prado will get back on familiar equipment. Now, November of last year, again, when these things could start getting talked about, I did an interview with Prado that you could watch right here, where he said once he rode a Gas in Supercross in 2024, that was all he needed to know, that he had to get on a Kawasaki. Well, now he's back on the bike that he said he needed to get rid of before he started racing Supercross again. But maybe it's a literal sense of the grass is not always greener over on another bike. You gotta figure Prado is super motivated, by the way, right now, after what was, by all means, a disaster for 2025. Sexton, by the way, put out a video this week. Troy Adamidis, the director of the famous Great Outdoors videos, he put out a video earlier this week. The YouTube channel is called My Sport, where he called Sexton on the phone and Troy asked him about the switch. And you might note that Sexton does talk about leaving KTM and why he needs a change of scenery. He does not ever say the word Kawasaki or Monster Energy. Again, you just got to wait for that. But it was interesting to see Sexton at least talk about making an uncomfortable phone call to the KTM brass saying, I'm not coming back, because they wanted to keep him. So you can check that out as well. We put a story about that on the RacerX website. And speaking of that, let's plug some of the sponsors. So I mentioned Yoshimura, yoshimura-rd.com. Get an exhaust for your bike. They've got it. If you're a silly season guy and you're trying to decide what brand of bike to ride, don't worry. You can always grab a Yosh for any of them. They got the factory Honda bikes. That's an old Jet Lawrence photo. Wait, that's over here above that shoulder. It's like a reverse mirror when I'm doing these videos. The Lawrences use Yosh exhausts. You know they won a lot. Team Australia, they had all Yosh exhausts with Kyle Webster as well with the Lawrences for Motocross of Nations. They've also got exhausts for Cowies, Yamahas, Huskies, KTMs, now even 250 and 450 Triumphs. This Joe Shimoda bike has a Yoshimura exhaust on it. And the one that Tom Vial will race over in Europe will have a Yoshimura exhaust on it. Do you know who Tom Vial's teammate in MXGP is going to be? This is mind-blowing. Jeffrey Herlings is no longer going to be a KTM rider. That was one of the longest running rider team partnerships, way back to his young days before he was even a pro. He will race on Hondas. Tim Geiser, who had raced on Hondas for a similar amount of time, we believe is moving to Yamaha. But their deals can't be announced until January. So we can talk about it, you can hear about it, but you won't hear them confirm it for a few more months, because remember, MXGP starts a little bit later. Not that much later, to be honest, but a little bit later than Monster Energy Supercross, so their deals can be pushed back of when they'll announce them a little bit further. That's the silly season roundup. Insta360 cameras, you've seen a lot of the good stuff. You can follow Cooper Webb on his social, Benny Bloss. They put out a lot of good content with the Insta360 camera. The good thing about the Insta360, if you're terrible at video quality like myself, shout out to producer Rob Feilbark, who's going to make this video look better than it would if I had done it on my own. Well, you don't have to aim the camera. You just strap it on to your chest and then ride, and then you use the app later to adjust the angle, because it gives you 360 degrees of view, so you cannot accidentally only shoot your gas tank, or even lower than that, something that would look even worse on a video, or you won't be shooting the sky. You can just adjust it and have perfect footage, and it shoots up to 8K now, and has a lot of cool AI tools to make it even easier to use. Again, check out some of the stuff that Cooper Webb has put out, some riding sessions on press days at Supercross, etc., etc., and go to our own company. That's racerxbrand.com. Get yourself a backpack, a shirt like this, the mag. Go there right now. Finally, a nod to the great Chad Reed, who's going into the AMA Hall of Fame tonight on a Thursday. And again, I cannot believe it's 5 years since Chad Reed has retired, because it seemed like Chad Reed might never retire. It actually ended for him, sadly, in the COVID messed up 2020 season, where he had all these VIP program tours planned with fans, and that did work for the first half of the year until everything got shut down. When they came back for the Salt Lake City 7, it was really just Chad and his skeleton crew of a team. No fans at all. Not the way that a guy like that should have gone out. Except for one thing. He did. That stubborn bastard went out with a top 10 finish in his last 450 Supercross race ever. And look, Chad was on fumes at that point. He was hurt coming into the year. It was a privateer bike effort. He still got a top 10. No fans cheering him. It was all his personal pride that made it happen. And that's symbolic, because that is the Chad Reed story. A lot of people refer to the Chad Reed, James Stewart, Ricky Carmichael era as a golden era in the sport. And the real reason anyone calls anything a golden era is because something that happened when you were at an age where your life was less stressful always seems more golden. I could do an entire video about that. The music and movies that you probably thought were the best ever were the ones that came out when you were like between like teenage years and your 20s, before you had to worry about like mortgages and kids and bills and taxes and things like that. But to be honest, that was a pretty darn good era with those three. The names, the rivalries, and part of what made that was the Carmichael-Stewart seed had been planted so early, thanks to the Fox Terra Firma video, which I have back here on my shelf somewhere. You knew that this kid named Ricky, this kid named James, and another one named Travis, ever heard of him? His career didn't turn out as good in the racing side, but he's really the most famous of all, Travis Pastrana. You knew those three would be the next guys, but what's crazy is that video was shot in like 1993. Carmichael and Stewart did not race each other until 2005. It was 12 years of buildup, but this storm is brewing. And by the time it got there, and everyone knew for sure, this is super legit. It's not, are these guys good? Could these guys be good? Everyone knew these guys were unbelievable. It was a lock. And by then, this other guy was in there riding just about as well as they were, which was instant credibility and legitimacy to him. And that stubbornness, to see these two things, these two objects, James, Ricky, no one can beat them. They will own everything. And there was one guy on the planet that said, yeah, whatever, I'm going for it. He didn't beat them all the time. He probably didn't beat them most of the time, but he certainly was a thorn in the side. And I have had many conversations with James and Ricky about this. The respect level for Chad's stubbornness and how you never knew on any night what he could do. He could get the job done. They never wrote the guy off because he never wrote himself off. And that is truly the legacy of Chad Reed. The thorn in the side of the two guys who nobody thought could be beat, except one guy thought he could beat them. And he did. And that's the true legacy of Chad Reed. We could go through stats. We could talk about the all-time podiums. It says a lot about Chad Reed that he owned the podium really more than anyone else ever. But I don't think that's the thing you think about him the most. Having the most podiums ever is like the second best thing that Chad Reed did. Battling RC, battling Stu, and to a lesser degree, also battling the Ryans, Villopoto and Dunge, when they came on. And just being stubborn, he was kind of the first old guy. He did his own team. I think when people first think James, Ricky, and Chad, they think of the years battling each other. The post-Ricky years, they were still darn good. And the 2-2 thing was awesome as well. So congratulations to Chad Reed, who is just one stubborn, I know I can do this bastard, the likes of which the sport has maybe never seen. Because everybody else, bro, it's Ricky and James. What are you going to do? Forget about it. Congrats, Chad, on the AMA Hall of Fame. That's our roundup. Thanks to Yoshimura, Insta360, and RacerX. Nice talking to you.